My turn?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for being here this morning. Last week I spoke on the subject of prayer to go along with our 40 days of prayer that we're doing coming up to our revival meeting. We've got Easter in just a few weeks, April the 9th. The next week will be homecoming. We'll have a big meal down in the gym, and we'll invite the Spanish church to join us. They're usually having about 12 or a little more on Sunday morning, and so we'll invite them to come and stay. Maybe they'll fix some of that good Mexican food, you know, Spanish food, I should say. A lot of them are not Mexicans. They're from Latin America. John 15 in your Bibles today. Exciting things are happening. April the 8th, got this big day Jacob's got planned with hunting Easter eggs and all kind of blow-up stuff and things for the kids to have fun and all that, and there'll be things going on spiritually as well. John 15, verse 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." The husbandman is the one who prepares the ground and plants the seed or the plant. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Amazing how the word of God has a power to cleanse us of our sins. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto the word of God. Now you're clean through the word." Verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." The word "abide," coming translated from the Greek language, means to continue therein. To continue. Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Let's pray. Father, bless the word today, I pray, the reading and the hearing, and may the Holy Spirit apply the word of God to our hearts, to our minds, that we will comprehend the message you have for us in this text of Scripture. Help us that we might honor and please you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." We've looked at a number of the times in the New Testament of, I think, a total of 14, and we've looked at several of them already, where Jesus said, "I am." And that goes back to the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, where God appeared to Moses and revealed himself as the great I am. From that expression he gave to Moses comes the name Jehovah. And in Hebrew imperfect tense, "I am that I am" means I was, I am, and I shall be forever. God is eternal. God plans the future for his people. God is looking over us. Many of you have experienced things in your life and you said, "Boy, the Lord knew this was going to take place. He prepared things. He blessed us in a great way." If we walk close to God, we'll see that more often. We'll realize that he deserves the praise, honor, and glory for everything good that happens in our life. Jesus revealed to the disbelieving Jews in John 8 and verse 58, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to stone him, knowing what he was saying. He was revealing that he is the great I am. And he was before Abraham. And Jesus said those that believe in him would not die. And they said, are you greater than Abraham? Abraham is dead. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he said, Abraham saw my day, meaning when he was born. And he said he was pleased to see that take place. Jesus was questioned by the great high priest. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. If you want to note that, it's in Mark 14 and verse 61 and 62. Secondly, this morning, Jesus addresses his 11 disciples. He told them in chapter 14 of John and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit would come and abide. Comforter, one called alongside. Advocate, one who represents us. Then in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, taught them about the Holy Spirit, gave them peace. Then he begins to address how they will bear fruit for God, and how if they bear much fruit, they will be his disciples. Fruit's revealed 8 times in chapter 15. In Israel, there are many vineyards. They were very common. Olive trees and vineyards are in many places. In this day and time, under the Roman rule, the Jewish coins often had a vine imprinted upon them. The vine was carved on the door of their synagogue. Josephus, the historian, wrote that a vine was carved on the door to the temple in that time period. When Joy and I went to visit the Ukraine and to speak at the churches that the Van Sants had been there 16 years, and we noticed that just about everywhere we went, the church, their home, other people's home, they all had vines. They all had vine arbors. They had the construction over them, and they would route the vine up over them so that you could reach up and pull the grapes when they started producing and were there for them. They were everywhere. Intimate relationship with Jesus, who is the true vine, and we are his believers, we are the branches, and we obtain life from our connection to him. 1 John 5 says, life is in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Eternal life is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And only with Jesus Christ is eternal life granted to those who believe. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. There is a spiritual union with the Lord, which is one of the wonders of the Christian life, that we are one with him, that he works through us, that he lives within us by his Spirit. Paul wrote 164 times in the 13 books of the Bible, which he is the author, the phrase or its equivalent, in Christ. We are in Christ, and we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. The unsaved person is in conflict with God. His will and God's will are not in union one with another. But believers have humbled themselves before God and called upon the Lord to be saved. And now we are one with God. And it is because of that union that God can produce his fruit through us. The purpose that God has for us. In John 15, 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So answered prayer that we are seeking of God now for revival and now for our church is dependent upon us abiding, living continually in the Lord and in his word. Israel was called the vine. Back in Psalm 80, Psalm 80 in verse 8 and 9. I hear y'all turning. I'll wait a second. Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Nation of Israel is responding as a vine of the Lord that's been planted in Israel now. But in Isaiah chapter 5, at a later time of what's going on with the nation, chapter 5 and beginning with verse 1, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I go to tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Verse 7 says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So Israel failed to be the vineyard that produced fruit for the Lord. Now the church, the believers, have the responsibility to fill that role. Jesus said the Father is the husbandman. He is the one who hath given us the earth. He has prepared the ground to receive the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven. And now he is the vine. Those who believe are united to him that we might receive eternal life. We're back in John 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Continuing in the Lord. And if we continue in the Lord Jesus Christ and we bear fruit, then the Father is glorified in what he's done. You see, if we produce fruit for God, it's because of the Lord that we are able to do that. And he deserves the praise and the honor and the glory. Thirdly, an unbeliever does not have the life of God. Because he does not have the life of God, he cannot bear fruit that is acceptable unto God. He bears wild grapes, sour grapes. In verse 2 and 6, men can do anything to look religious. The Pharisees wore certain robes and garb, and they looked very religious. And they attended all of the services and did all of the rituals of the law. But unless they are bearing fruit, then they do not have the life of Christ, the eternal life that God wants to give to his people. Because we are in Christ, we bear fruit. We are good ground that God has found to plant his seed in, that we might bear fruit unto him. Now the Holy Spirit, first of all, produces the fruit of the Spirit through us as believers. Unsaved don't have the Holy Spirit. They can't produce the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that's how we are to live as a Christian. Producing, let the Holy Spirit produce through us. Yielding ourselves to Him that He might produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things through us. If we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. That means we are conscious that we could grieve the Holy Spirit or quench His working through us. And as Christians, in their life, 1 John 3, 9 and 10 makes it evident a child of God or a child of the devil. That's the way every person is. Children of God are manifest or made evident, visible by righteousness, and those that are unrighteous are not the children of God, but are the children of the devil. Satan is at work in every unsaved person, Ephesians chapter 2. Thank God He has saved us from that and given us a new life and given us His Spirit that we might live the new life. And the more we're in the Word and the fellowship with God's people, the more God can produce His fruit through us. The unsaved have a future in hell. I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to be a child of the devil. I think they want to be a child of God and go to heaven and inherit all the beauty and future blessings that we have to look forward to. And they just hope that one day something will change their life. One day when God judges them that they'll be okay. My friend, you're not okay. You're already under the condemnation of God if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got to look to Him like a man who's drowning. He cannot save himself. He must call upon help. And that help can come from the Lord. If we believe the Lord is who He says He is and that He did what He says He did, then you can call upon Him and He can save you, as every saved person here can testify what God has done for them. Fourthly, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, ye are the branches." In verse 3, He said, "We are clean through the Word." He calls for us to abide in Him, to continue in Him. Verse 9 in John 15. Let me get back there. Got Luke, and I'm going the wrong way. John's after Luke. 15:9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." That word "continue" is the same Greek word that is translated "abide" in these other verses. It means to continue. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, Paul writes to Philippi, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And Baptists, pay special attention to verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." God's people, the Holy Spirit producing fruit through us. We are the light of the world, and we are those who bear the fruit for God. And much of that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, but there are other things that are produced through us. We are a witness for Christ. When we tell other people about the Lord and they get saved, we're reproducing ourselves in the lives of others. We're like the tree, we're bearing fruit. When we bear fruit, there are seeds within the fruit to reproduce. If you go into an apple orchard that has not had a lot of attention, you'll find tiny apple trees growing up around the other trees all over. For where the apples fall on the ground, the seeds in them will reproduce. And we are to reproduce. It's the natural thing that we do. In Jude, right before Revelation, look at Jude, verse 20 through 23. Christians being a witness to reproduce for God. Jude, verse 20. Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me, and I will teach you to become fishers of men. I'll teach you to catch men instead of fish." Verse 20 of Jude, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment stained by the sins of the flesh." Jude spoke of abiding in Christ to win souls, to help others be saved. We are Christ's ambassadors seeking to reconcile men to God. We pray you in Christ's stead. I stand here representing the Lord Jesus Christ, appealing to everyone who is lost to let us reconcile you with God. We take God's hand in your hand, and by the gospel message, you can be reconciled unto God. We are workers within the harvest of the Lord. We are firemen that are rescuing souls from the dangers of hell. That's fruit that we're producing in souls being saved. Thirdly, in Romans 6:22, there is the fruit of holiness. Romans 6:22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." So producing the fruit of holiness. Holiness is simply spirituality, my friends. It's not a long list of rules and regulations that you got to make sure you make every one. If you got the Spirit of God living within you and you're studying the Word of God and you're living for the Lord and you get up and pray and ask God to guide your day, you're going to do what God wants you to do because you're a spiritual person, and you can be a witness for Christ because you are a spiritual person. Holiness is the fruit of being spiritual. We stay close to the vine, and He will produce through us. Fourthly, Paul was going on his journey in Romans 15 and verse 22 through 29. He's planning to go to Spain. Romans 15, verse 22. "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you on my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them of their carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Paul said it was fruit, the missionary offering that he was taking to Jerusalem for the poor saints at Jerusalem that was coming from Macedonia and Achaia. They were some of the poorer of people, but they gave the most. And the reason they gave the most was because first they gave themselves unto the Lord. When you give your heart to God, you don't mind giving some of your pocketbook to the Lord. And they took a great offering and sent it by Paul for those. And Paul called this fruit that would be sealed when he gave it to them. There is another fruit, and that is Hebrews 13:15. We offer the sacrifice of praise unto God as a priesthood of believers. Serving as a priesthood of believers. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the sacrifice of praise from our lips, to give God praise continually. He that offereth praise glorifieth me, the Lord said. The older a vine got, and the more it was pruned and kept healthy and dig around it and weed it and fertilize it, the larger and the sweeter the fruit it would produce. The longer we live and the more we stay close to God and grow through His Word, the more effective we can be in God producing fruit through us of all these things that I've just mentioned. Obeying the Lord. You know, some people obey because they have to. You're my child. I brought you into the world. I can take you out. You obey me. You have to. Secondly, some obey because they see they need to. They want to live in a nice house and have heat and air conditioning and one day get to drive a car. And they need to obey so they can get things, you know, get what they want. But we obey because Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let us show our love for the Lord in obedience unto him, that the Holy Spirit can work through us and produce fruit unto God. God has invested giving his Son to die for us on Calvary and rise again from the dead. There are so many things we could talk about. Jesus taking on flesh, being in the presence of sinful men, dying on the cross, retaining a physical body that is now a glorified body. All these things were a sacrifice and a suffering for the Lord to do. He did all that for us that we might be able to be saved. Should we not see how much we should give thanks to God and how much we should live for Him day by day? Let us be obedient and let God work through us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here. As Paul thanked God for the churches in the New Testament as he wrote these letters, some of them were not yet strong spiritual churches, but he thanked God for them in the introductions. Some of them were saved, and some of them were being obedient, and some of them were growing. Lord, I thank God for the people of this church, the strong spiritual group of people that we have, and the fruit they produce for you. I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to do more. Help us to invite people to church. Help us to be a witness to others that they might be saved before it's everlastingly too late. And we offer you our praise and our thanks in Jesus' name. When I worked at Duke Power at the nuclear plant, there were Christian men there that witnessed to me. I was about as big a heathen as most of them knew. And little by little, those seeds they were planting, God began to change my mind and change my heart. And then he changed my life when he saved me. And God saved my wife and I at the same time so that we would not have a conflict between us. And as we began to try to serve the Lord, we stumbled a lot. We were just babes in Christ. But that was 44 years ago. In April, we'll have homecoming after Easter. And that'll be 44 years that this church has been here. And that means I went to seminary before that. So God has been good. And God used a number of people to witness to me, to invite me to church, to do the things that eventually caused me to be saved. But nobody could save me except Jesus. But they had to get me to him. I was like the man on the stretcher. The four men carried him to the Lord. If you can just get people to the Lord, he can save them. So let's get them to the Lord by getting them to church.